He gave me better friends than I deserve. Looking around the auditorium tonight, thinking about different people that have impacted my life, who God let me cross paths with. I certainly appreciate God being gracious and giving me some good people. Boy, you know, I got to thinking, man, your parking lot looks great, and the auditorium looks great, and your, I guess your, I don't know if you call that a fellowship hall now, you know, but we stopped and looked where you used to be. Spent about 7 years, and I'd say you've come a long way from where you used to be. And this is not my church, this is your church, and where you used to be and where you are now, I think somebody ought to just praise the Lord for that, man. Not just for the building either. I looked out there in the fellowship hall, whatever you want to call that, all those pictures of people that now are going to the field to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if that was a dream that many years ago, but boy, what a blessing it is to see people going out and getting the work of God done. Not just blessed materially, but blessed in eternity by people willing to sacrifice themselves. I say this again, somebody just ought to say praise the Lord. Amen. It's your church, not mine. Something to be able to rejoice about. All right. Well, take your Bible tonight. And I want to echo Brother Fuller before we turn Hosea chapter 11 and just say thank you already for the kindness. And this is a hospitable church and hospitable people. And it is a privilege to preach tonight here. And tonight's message may be a little unfamiliar territory for some of us, but I think that's all right. I've listened to many of the songs sung in the last probably 20, 30 minutes, and I feel like that we really are where we need to be in the Bible. Hosea chapter 11. Jesus Christ quoted these words in Mark chapter 3, verse 25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. There's a phrase that was coined many, many years ago. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. The idea is that if you want to place someone under your rule, if you want to somehow take the charge of their life, then you need to divide them, to separate them. Because united, they present a threat or a strength that may be too big to overcome. But divided, they are someone, no matter how strong they may be, they can be conquered. Some of the things that were used to do that, they would take and they would prevent alliances. They would make certain that alliances weren't made. They wanted to keep people separate. They might even take and foster division. They would do something to cause distrust and mistrust amongst people, particularly the Roman Empire. They would want people to look at each other with a wary eye. They would induce expenditures for things that didn't mean anything, to use up resources so they could keep the people divided. And here in Hosea, this book really is about that very thing. Now, I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 11, and then I want you to look and see in another part of the book what we're trying to talk about, divide and conquer. Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, and I loved him and called my son out of Egypt, and they called them, as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. And I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I'm convinced in the words that we just read that you see Satan trying to divide God from His people. And there are many different types of division. If you go back to chapter 2, would you look there just a moment? I think one of the worst types of division is when a family is divided. Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 2. The picture that we see in the first three chapters is about Hosea marrying a harlot. And that harlot goes out and commits adulteries with others, even though he is the one being beneficial to her. The Bible says in verse number 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Someone is dividing Hosea from his wife. Someone is stepping in and causing a division. And you know, isn't that the same way the devil worked in the garden? You know, listen, guys, tonight, what I'm going to preach is not going to be easy to hear, but it's something that we need to hear. Division is something that the devil started using in Genesis chapter 3. He got Eve to listen to him by herself. He divided Eve from Adam, and he has divided many a woman from her husband. And then he divided Adam from Eve. He knew that if he could make Adam to make a choice, all right, you can either take and eat this fruit and lose or keep the love of your life, but you're going to lose your relationship with God. And so Adam was divided from Eve for a moment, and then Adam and Eve from God. They hid themselves as God walked in that garden in the cool of the day. They were separated from God, and you would think that Satan would be happy dividing a family. But he waits until chapter 4 to make the worst division. And he divides a mother and father from their children. Cain and Abel. Abel lies dead in the field. Cain is banished. And Satan has continued at the inception of God's creation to divide man from wife, man from God, husband and wife from God, and now husband and wife from children. And it must have been a catastrophic division in their eyes. So is it in Hosea's eyes. He is saying, plead with your mother. It's been some time ago now, had a letter that was laid on a pulpit that we had in a tent meeting. And a lady begins to write the words and ask, would you please pray for my husband? How he's left the home. That they had three children and one on the way. How that he had lost his job and turned to drugs. And then she said, I wasn't the perfect wife, but I want to be. And I want my husband back. I've cried a river of tears, she said, for a whole year. And you know, when you start looking at this country, the families are being torn apart all across this country. And sadly, they're being torn apart even in good Bible-believing churches like this one. Divide and conquer. But you know, in chapter 10, if you look at it, in chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Israel is divided from God. That's the story. Chapter 4 through 14 is that Israel is divided from God. Now we have Hosea divided from his wife and her adulteries, but the rest of the book is about God and Israel being divided. And you know, I would say this, there are few hurts in the world, probably like a divorced family or a family whose mother and father no longer live together, or a son who has left the home of a mother and father. That's a very hard thing to take. But it is equally hard to take a church that is divided. The number of times that the devil will step inside a good Bible-believing church and cause division, as we've already heard tonight. Someone throwing stones, someone dividing, someone taking and separating. And wounds come into someone's life. Wounds come into someone's heart. The Bible speaks much about division in the Corinthian church and how that God did not want them to be divided. Hey, can I say tonight, listen, God does not want old paths divided any more than He wants your home divided. He doesn't want this place divided. God wants there to be unity. Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God loves unity. He enjoys that. Jesus prayed in John 17 that they may be one as we are one. God wants His people united. Are you listening to me? Satan wants to divide and conquer them. He wants to divide good people from their pastor. He wants to divide someone who started out the right direction from himself. He wants to take and move them away from God's reach and put them in a place where they lose fellowship with God and they chase things that don't mean anything, that have no value, that have no joy, that can never satisfy. Boy, I'm glad tonight I have a Savior that satisfies the soul. But Satan will divide and he'll conquer. If you look at the battle there in chapter 11 for just a moment, the Bible says in verse number 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. God said, I loved him. I put my heart upon him and I called my son out of Egypt. No doubt, Exodus chapter 12, and God is saying, I took my son out of bondage. Egypt being a picture of the world, a house of bondage. A place where there's heavy taskmasters. Boy, I'm going to say tonight, I'm going to say this too. I'm glad I am no longer living under the management of the devil. Instead, I'm living under the management of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is a heavy taskmaster. The world will exact things from you and lay more burdens upon you and watch you break underneath the strain and will not lift a hand in compassion to help you. But as we've already heard tonight, there is a sympathizing Savior who will reach over into all that darkness and mess and pull people up out of the mire and bondage and set them free. Not because they have something to offer. Oh no. Because He loved them. Listen, I know we know the verse that we love Him because He first loved us. We're not free because of what we had to offer to God. We're free because we had a God that set His heart on us in the first place. And yet, Egypt is trying to pull Israel back. How many times did that happen? Calling out to the children of Israel, set you a captain, come back to this place of onion and garlic and leeks. God loved Israel. And there's a fight that's going on. A fight that's going on for His people. Verse number 2, the Bible says, as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burnt incense to graven images. If you would, put a little mark right there in your Bible and go to 2 Chronicles 36. That'll be a little easier to find. 2 Chronicles 36. I believe what is taking place in verse 2, that as they called them, God loved Israel. He brought Israel out of Egypt. And now, because He loved them, He is calling to them. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, look what the Bible says in verse number 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. God did not want to send judgment. He did not want to send wrath. He was calling to Israel. He would send Isaiah. He would send Jeremiah. He would send Amos. He would send someone to call out to Israel and say, hey, turn to God. Return from your wicked ways. And He kept calling out to them, trying to get them to turn and listen to His voice. You know, I find the world does the same thing. They call out as well. Go back to chapter 11 of Hosea. God is calling. He's trying to turn Israel. He's trying to get Israel's attention because there's a battle going on. divide and conquer, divide Israel from God. And He's loved them, called them out of Egypt, and He's trying to call out to them. And sees them walking away, and the Bible says, as they called them, the prophets, so they went from them. The prophets are calling, but the people are walking away. The prophets are giving them the message from heaven, but the people are walking away. And they're not just walking away. The Bible says that they sacrifice unto Balaam and burn incense to graven images. And let me say something right there. Listen, listen. Whenever you divide, when you get divided from God, if the devil is ever successful in dividing you from the Lord, it will not just be to divide you to allow you to go into something else of freedom in some way of thinking, I'm going to set you free. There's always going to be someone waiting to take you into their service. If Satan can divide you from God, somebody's going to be waiting to make you one of their servants. So when they left God, they didn't just leave God and stand somewhere in the middle. And I feel like we have so much of that today. I know that we have people that are warm on one side, hot on one side, and others that are cold on this side. But so many want to be right in the middle. They're not really running from God, but they're not really running away from the world either. They're just kind of right in the middle. And you know what? You cannot maintain that position very long. If you allow something to draw your heart from God, if you allow something to draw your heart from this church, you won't stay long in the middle. You'll be drawn to something else. Because it's a fight. It's a fight trying to divide, and He's calling, but they're refusing to listen, and they're sacrificing. Verse number 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. He taught them. He's sending the prophets, the scriptures. He's trying to give them biblical principles. Hey, young people. Boy, I really want to say this tonight. I really could care less what the world has to say about the way God made men and God made women and what they believe about certain habits and vices. Really, what we ought to do is we ought to find out what God said about that and not worry about what the heathen had to say about it. Really makes no difference at all. So many people talk about global warming. Listen, God warmed the planet. God made the planet. God put gravity in order on the planet. You and I aren't going to be able to destroy the planet that God made. Come on, who do you think you are? Who are we? How big are you to be able to destroy something that God made and set in motion from nothing? I'll tell you who we are. We're nobody but listening to the heathen. Oh, no, no, you can control the planet. No, you and I don't have any control of the planet. Quit listening to somebody that has no idea what they're talking about. God established the earth. Amen. Amen. You need to find out what God says on a matter. And God's sending His prophets, and He's sending the Scripture, and He's teaching them. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 3 that He's taking them by their arms. You know, in our church we have some dear, sweet ladies, and sometimes it's hard for them to get up out of their chair, and sometimes it's hard for them to get to their vehicle from the auditorium, and people take them by the arm, and they just kind of help them along. And man, so many times God just helped Israel along. God reached in and gave them something when nobody else would. Man, He fed them with angel food out in the wilderness. I'm telling you, He's a good God. Gave them shade from the heat. And then he gave them fire and light at night. God just kind of, He helped Israel along. He was trying to bring them along when they didn't want to go all the time themselves. Because He is interested in keeping them. But the verse says that, in verse 3, that they knew not that I healed them. Somebody else is taking credit for the goodness of God. Well, I'm going to tell you, young people, I'm going to tell you something. The world will tell you that the world will make something out of you. The world will make nothing out of you. The world will take everything you have to offer. If there's anything that you're made in this world, it'll be by the grace of an almighty God. Amen. God is the one that gives good gifts from heaven. Listen, we have a good God. The world wants to make Him out to be some kind of tyrant. The world is a tyrant. God is a good God. He laid His life down on a cross for people that did not deserve it. He's a good God. He sends rain to the just and the unjust. If you have blessings, it's because He's a benevolent God. The world doesn't have anything to offer except empty promises. Then the Bible says in verse number 4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. God is taking and He's drawing Israel. He's pulling on them. He's trying to tie things to them. I, many years ago, read in a book about tying strings on your children's hearts. And I believe in that. Doing something, making a memory, giving a gift, making a little note somewhere, doing something out of the way, just somehow tying a string on their heart, continually tying something to their heart. And as the devil tries to clip strings, maybe there's more strings that are tied than he can clip. And God is drawing Israel. He's being good to them, and He's trying. He loves them, and He's trying to draw them. And I say, as God is trying to draw Israel, that the world is trying to draw them to destruction. For the Bible says in verse number 4, that He drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. He was trying to reach out and do something to move their heart. But in verse 5, the Bible says they refused to return. They hardened their heart. God's love did not move them. God's love did not change them. His goodness was not apparent to them. All of His calling fell on deaf ears. All of His goodness fell on hard hearts. And as Israel hardened its heart and hardened its heart, it moved farther and farther from God. And that's the plan all along. Divide, and now I'm going to conquer. I'm going to rule them. Now, I say all that tonight. I believe the battle is real. There's a real battle going on to divide your home. There's a real battle going on to divide your church. You can look at me angelically. I've pastored long enough. I know there's a real battle going on to divide your church. There's a real battle going on to divide your heart from God, because Satan knows if he can get you divided from those places and those people, then he will enable himself to rule over your life. Oh yeah, free from hell, on my way to heaven, but still under the same old rulership that I had before. And that's not something that you enjoy. It's not something we want. So tonight, if I can, I'm going to try to take and put just a little bit of a... I'm going to put a little bit of a face to that, if I can. Mr. Pinzone, if I could get you to come here, just take off your jacket for just a minute, if you would. You just come up here. You know, the Bible says that there's a battle going on there in that book over the soul of a nation. And God on one side is trying to take and draw Israel to Him. And you know, what we want to do with our kids, what we want to do with the people in our church, we want to take them, we want them pointed the right direction. So come here, son. I'd say a good place for you to be is just right there behind that pulpit, facing right there toward that cross right there. You know, I've had so many people say, listen, is your son going to preach? I don't care if my son ever preaches one day as long as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't have to be in the ministry to be a success. He just has to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what happens is God tries to take and He tries to put something on the people that He loves to draw them. That's in the passage. And He'll put somebody that loves you in that light. Brother Jay, would you come here just a minute? He'll give you a pastor. And that pastor will take and he'll try to keep that cord held on one side so that you will stay in the right place. He'll do that and he'll hold that rope, and sometimes it's not easy to do, but he'll take and he'll try to keep you centered, because we all have a tendency to drift. We all have a tendency to move from where we ought to be. And so that pastor holds that rope. He's trying to do something to set a cord against someone else who would draw. Brother Sirik, would you come just a moment? On the other side of that is also a real devil. And the devil, the devil's a strong man. The devil's a strong man. You know, it's amazing to me how many times people talk about things about what they're going to do to the devil. You know, you and I are no match for the devil. Once the devil gets his hooks on you, and once he gets his cord on you, there's going to be a fight that takes place. And what he does, just like the world, just like Egypt, trying to take and keep you in bondage, put you in bondage, he's going to take and he's going to do the same thing. And there's going to be a pull that takes place. and you're trying to stay facing the right direction, maybe as a young man or a young woman, or your children, you want them facing God, or maybe you're as a pastor, you want your people facing the right direction, but then there becomes a battle. Brother, see if you could just pull him to the side your way a little bit. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right, that's good enough right there. Now, honestly, is that a little uncomfortable? It is uncomfortable. Now, listen to me. Don't miss what I'm trying to show you. This is a real battle. This hurts. This is something that's not enjoyable. Yes, I've got my mind in the right place. I'm reading. I'm following. I'm trying to listen to my parents. I'm trying to listen to my pastor. But there's a real battle taking place, and it's causing stress. And so what God does is, and He tries to take and help out a pastor, because a pastor in his own ability is not going to be able to take and move this thing. So maybe He sends a godly parent, Miss Penzone. Maybe you just let her grab hold. So there's somebody that loves you, a mom and dad that loves you, and they're going to take that rope along with a pastor, and they're going to hold on to that thing. And they're going to try to keep you from being swayed. But then the devil, he'll bring somebody along. Brother Greg, come on. He'll bring somebody along, a friend. He'll bring somebody along, and listen, somebody looks good, somebody's slick, somebody knows how to talk, and he's going to put him on that rope as well. And the battle is going to increase, and then maybe he sends another friend along. And I don't know your name, brother, if you'll come right on up here. And the leverage, and it begins to be a very leveraged battle. And boy, if God will help me, listen, this is exactly what takes place in a home and what takes place in a church. A godly man, a godly young woman, a pastor, a parent, and then the battle starts getting tighter. Y'all pull a little bit. Does it hurt, Brother Penzone? There you go. Yeah. What happens is, you can let up just a little bit, because it's hurting. I'm telling you, it hurts you. And that's where some of your children are. Well, we bring them to a good godly church, and we've got good godly friends here, and I don't understand, because there's a battle that's real going on. You understand that? That's what's going on in the heart of some of the people of Old Pass Baptist Church with their pastor. With somebody else in the church. There's a battle that's going on. There's a struggle that's going on. And it's not just a win-lose type of game. This is a game for keeps. This is a game for keeps. I'm going to tell you, listen, there are people that love you. And I believe I can say this. I believe your pastor loves you. You may not believe that because of what he said from the pulpit or what he said privately. I believe your pastors love you. You know how I know they love you? Because what they're willing to sacrifice for you. Without the benefit, there's no notoriety. Listen, some of you that have been, how many of you have been at this church for more than 10 years? Would you raise your hand? You know, there's a lot of times that there's been somebody at the hospital. There's been somebody in a very difficult situation in your life. A 2 o'clock call in the morning. There's been something that happened and they were there. You know why they were there? Not because they could get something from you, because they genuinely loved you. But I want to tell you right now, the devil don't love you. The devil doesn't love you. He didn't care anything about you. I believe that. Listen, young people, I know you have parents. I would believe this church is full of parents that love you. But what the devil's going to tell you is that, no, those parents don't love you. They want to keep you from having fun. They are obstacles and roadblocks in your way for really enjoying life and becoming what you ought to be. But you know what? Those parents, they were the ones that sat with you at 2 o'clock in the morning, wiped fever off your brow, took and put clothes on you, and did things for you, prayed in the early hours of the morning. And when things weren't well, they still loved you because you were their child. They love you. There's some godly people. I'm telling you right now, there's some godly people. And you, listen, you ought to thank God for the godly people in this church that would be a friend and try to encourage you to do the right thing. There's some people that love you. But what happens is, as that rope is being pulled, and you see how he's already moved? You see the direction? Well, when they start pulling back this way, then now he thinks they're fighting with him. Pastor's fighting with me. Mom's fighting with me. How come you're fighting with me? You're supposed to be my friend. But what's on the other side is a devil and somebody else that would love to see you slip to this side so they could destroy every good thing about you. Do you understand? These people love, and these people, all they want to do is enslave. And if you'll think about that for a minute, look at the verse again, verse number 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him out of Egypt. Verse 2, and as they called them, so these people begin calling, hey man, don't go that direction. They're trying to get me to come this way. No, don't go that way, Brother Pinzon. We're going to encourage you. We want to keep you over here. Come on this way a little bit, y'all. Yeah, we want you over here. And they're calling to him. They're asking him, hey, listen, son, don't go that direction. But the world is calling too. And here's one of the problems that I believe that I see today in our churches. So the world starts calling and the friend starts calling. Go ahead and start moving this way. Now, y'all just move with him. Pastor moves with him. Friend moves with him. Mom moves with him. Say, you know what? We don't want the stress and the strain to be so hard on our son. We don't want it to be so hard on our people. So we're just going to change the way that we dress. We're going to change the things that we believe. We're just going to start moving this direction. And you know what? You may be moving. There's still tension, but you're not moving toward freedom. You're moving toward bondage. Because they're calling as well. They're calling. Sometimes this happens. We'll just move back to the center. Mom and dad and friend, they're holding the rope. And then the struggle gets taken place. And Mr. Pinzon, he just says, you know what? I wish you guys would leave me alone. And he's trying to get rid of it. And there's a struggle. And it happens in, listen, every pastor's heart, every parent's heart, every good friend's heart. That battle gets going. And finally somebody says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just let go of the rope. Just let go. Just go have a seat back there. Then maybe a pastor says, you know what? I don't think I can do anything else with him. And as you do that, go ahead, Greg. Y'all just move that way. And you know what happens a lot of time? She's not moving. There ends up being just... it's fight. And you know the worst thing you can do apart from moving that direction is? Go ahead, Ms. Pinzon, just drop it. Just drop it. Free now, aren't you, buddy? Is there a lot less pressure? That's going on all over the country. Tired of the fight. Tired of the battle. And they're tired of the battle. And those cords that were supposed to be holding things in place, they just laid on the ground. Hey, you know what I say, Mom and Dad? Don't move. And don't quit. Keep a hold of those ropes. Don't quit. Don't drop that thing at all. Oh, he has the ability he wants. I'm going to give it back to Miss Pinzon. Y'all let him come back this way. He's coming back to Mama today. Y'all let him come back this way. Come on back here. There you go. He has the choice. And some of you young people here this morning or this afternoon, stop right there. You know what you can do? You can get tired of this as well. And you know what you can do? Maybe Mom and Dad, they're going to keep holding on to that thing. Or Pastor, where'd you go, Brother Folk? I didn't want you to go that far away. Come on back up here. You really did quit being the pastor, didn't you? I'm done with that one right there. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm done with him. I'm writing him off the book. Boy, my friend, he went far away too, didn't he? You know, they still may have a hold of the rope. Go ahead. You know what he can do? And this is exactly, you know, I'm telling you, some of you are waiting for this moment an opportunity. You've been thinking about it for a while, and you're waiting for it. Young Mr. Pinzon, reach up and get rid of their strength. Just unlatch that thing. 18 years old, 20 years old, got a car, got a little money now, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take and I'm just going to get rid of the rope for them. You know what happens? Same thing. Oh, I'm free. You're not free. You're not free. You know what you are? You are now under somebody else's control that you don't want to be under. And what happens to your life? You know, you can make that choice. Listen to me. Listen. You can make that choice, but you can't control where that choice leads you. You know, a lot of times in a situation like this, what happens is somebody's got to take a risk. And I'm going to just let Miss Pinzon do it. And they're going to go back over there and they're going to say, son, I don't want you out. I don't want you a pastor. I don't want you out. And they're going to take a risk and they're going to step across the line and they're going to go to them. They're going to say, look, I love you. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about the church. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want any of that stuff. But mom just keeps working. And maybe she finally gets that thing back around that boy, or maybe a pastor, maybe a friend. And now we got an opportunity to see that thing move back the other way. Just take it with you. Yeah. But you know, it's hard. Listen to me. It's hard right here. Once you get to this place, it's hard leaving the lies of the devil. It's hard moving back this direction. And as you begin moving back, it's hard. And that battle starts up again and there's pressure and there's tension. But you know what I'd like to say? If you'll get your attention put the right place, if I could, as a dad, if I could, as a pastor, I would cut this line. But I can't cut it. But you know what I do know? There's a Savior up in heaven. You know what He can do? He can just do a little bit of that and just go ahead and move on down a little bit farther. We got a little more tension. I'll just do it like this right here. Let you move on down a little bit farther. He can just take it up like this. I'm glad I've got a God that can stand in, and though the pressure may be building in other ways, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That there's a God in heaven who has the ability, listen, He can help you to stand. One day we're going to be free of this. But not today. Not today. This is still a fight. But this is worth the fight. This is a fight that's worth engaging in. Thank you. You may see it. Guys, you can go ahead. I'm going to let you send the doctor bill to Dr. Willie Camilleri. Amen. Now, I know that's probably a crude illustration of the battle that's taking place in Hosea 11. There definitely is a calling. There is definitely somebody that is investing, and the world is making false promises, and God is trying to draw somebody back. But you all get to make the choice. If you look at it, it breaks my heart when I read verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? You see that? Verse 7, the Bible says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. He said, how should I give thee up? How should I let go of this rope? I don't want you to be conquered. I don't want the division. And then he says of Israel, how should I deliver thee, Israel? My heart, you look at the end of the verse, my heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. God is struggling in His own heart over His own people that He loves and He's investing in. And He's trying to draw as the devil is trying to draw them away from Him. His own heart is conflicted. I'm going to tell you tonight, young people, God loves you. God loves you. Your mom and dad, they love you. You got a pastor that loves you. You people of Old Paths Baptist Church, you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to separate you from this place. You know, it's a choice that you get to make. It's a conflict. It's a conflict. The devil wants to separate you from the heart of God, and there's a conflict going on. I give you two quick solutions. The first one is this. If you want to keep from being divided and conquered, recognize who really loves you. Did you hear what I said? Recognize who really loves you. Well, they were up there singing that song a minute ago. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for Calvary. Then going on to say, thanks for mom and dad. Boy, I'm 49 years old and I look back now down that long, long look of life, and And I remember some of the feelings I had toward my mother and dad when they were trying to keep me from sliding out into the world. And I knew they loved me in my heart, but I didn't want to respond to that love. And I'm telling you right now, I can't spend enough time with them. I got a little 5-foot mother. She's sweeter than honey. She's more precious than gold. She stayed right there the whole time. I've got a dad with Parkinson's now, and he's not the man he used to be, but he's a hero still in my mind because they held the rope. They never moved the farm. They stayed right in the same place, went to a good Bible-believing church, and when I finally turned the right direction, I had a place that I could go and I could be accepted back into God's family. Amen. They love me. They love me. Do you understand how much your mom and dad love you? Do you? <laughs> 2:00 in the morning, their tears for you. Do you understand how much they just want to see you succeed in the eyes of God? I'm not here to try to pump it. Do you know how much your pastors really love you? People get so offended so easily. Good night. They get so offended. Oh, he preached that just for me. Yes, he did. You needed it. Amen. Lady asked me one time, she called me on the phone. She said, I just got one question. I said, what's that? She said, did you preach that message at me? I said, I certainly did. You know, she said, I knew it. So I let her go for a little bit. I had no idea. She was upset, fussed at me for a little bit. And finally I stopped and I said, had no idea what you're talking about. But when I preach, I try to preach at everybody that's in the building. They didn't aim at you. Had somebody not too long ago, they came up to me and they said, he said, preacher, boy, when you got on that one point, you looked right at me. Yeah, that was planned. Just want to see how mad I could make you, how much I could get underneath your skin. Just offended. Preacher, you didn't wave at me. You didn't shake my hand. When did you shake my hand? When you wave at me, why? What is it that you think that there's some kind of de-inclination of my heart toward you? I'm going to tell you, that's not from God. Listen to me. If you have men in this church that are not in sin, and these men are in leadership, and something is telling you they don't love you, and they don't care for you, and they're out to hurt you, that is not from God. You know what that is? That's somebody trying to divide and conquer you. When's the last time you put your hand in your pastor's hand? When's the last time you told his wife you appreciate her sacrifice? When's the last time that brother that bugs you when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, that you went to them and you said, hey, I appreciate you holding the rope. I appreciate you loving me and caring for me and investing in me. Instead of saying, oh, there it is. Boy, you know, that is just, it is so, how many of y'all get bothered when you know people now on their cell phone can see it's your name and your number and they won't answer it anyway? I wish there was a way to tase through the phone like that. Well, I miss church. I know why he's calling. Yeah. You need to recognize who really loves you. Hey, young people, I'm telling you right now, the world doesn't love you. I don't know if Taylor Swift is very popular up here, but I'm telling you right now, she doesn't love you. She doesn't love you. But you got some people in your life that do. And then verse number 7, secondly, this is where I'll finish. Secondly, this is, if you don't want to be divided, verse 7 says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. They're bent the wrong direction. Bend your heart toward those people that love you. Hey, can I take, listen to that. Listen, bend your heart toward God. Bend your heart toward God. You say, how do I do that? That's just a choice. I don't know how I could tell you doctrinally how to bend your heart toward someone. It's like my wife. I bent my heart toward my wife 21 years ago. and I've been at that direction, and I want to keep it that direction. And she does things to help me keep it that direction. And I do things to try to help me keep it that direction, because it's a choice that I made. Why? Because I love her, and I've set my heart on her. Listen, if you got people that love you, it would be wise to love them back and bend your heart that direction. Bend it that direction. When I was out in the world, I may have told it here before, I was out in the world, got right with God, and decided I'd go home, and got back to Decatur, Alabama. I got into that place, and my brother and mother were there. It was late that evening. Dad was already in the bed, and I came in the house, and we talked a little while and shed a few tears, and then Mom got us around the piano. Mom got on the piano, and my brother over here, and I on the other side, and I hadn't sung with Brent probably since I was 8 years old. And we just started singing hymns. And the more Mom played, the more we sang. And our hearts just got to bending. I went in there and woke my dad up. It was about probably maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I know my dad probably thought, okay, Joel is really way out there now. There's a huge problem. And I just said, Dad, you need to come in here. Just get in on this for a minute. What? He walked into there in that living room where that piano was, and we're singing, and, you know, he starts singing with us. He didn't sing long. Went back to bed. But our hearts just got bent. Now, theirs were already bent toward me. But I decided I was going to bend mine toward them. God's heart was bent toward me the whole time. You know what I find so amazing about the book of Hosea? Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. Ephraim and Israel is just full of idolatry and full of adultery and full of wickedness. And yet God has still got His heart bent toward them. Hosea has gone out and married a harlot, and she's out in adultery. I don't know how you see that in your mind, but here's a woman that's already a harlot. He started off with a bad deal, and she goes out and lives in adultery with other people, and yet Hosea is trying to get her back. He's bent that direction, and hey, all I've got to say this morning or this evening is this. I'm glad I got a God that keeps His heart bent that direction toward me. And then what I need to do now is bend my heart back toward Him. Amazed that He would do that. And I don't know. I told the Lord, I don't want to make this some kind of an emotional evening. I know in my own heart, I'm trying to bend my heart toward my children. But I can't make them bend their heart toward me. I know as a pastor, I'm trying to bend my heart toward my people, but I can't make them bend it toward me. But I know one thing. I've got a God that's got His heart bent toward me, and I can make my choice. I can move my heart toward Him. I can incline my heart toward Him. And you know what I'd like to do this day? Here's what I'd tell you I'd like to do, the way I'd like to end this service if I could. Maybe if Anna had come to piano, and maybe, or maybe just, Brother Fleur, why don't y'all just sing that song again? Thanks for loving me. Let's don't do it with any mics. Just get up there and just sing it. Y'all play it, and then Anna, if you want to sing. But you know what I think y'all do tonight? I think there ought to be some people in this auditorium tonight that you go to some folks and you say, hey, you know what? Thank you for holding the rope for me. Some of you kids that think your mom and dad are against you, you think all they want to do is control you and limit you and keep you from being able to go out in life and have a good time and succeed. You know what y'all stop to do tonight? Y'all really recognize who loves you. You know, some of you good people of Old Pass Baptist Church ought to do. You ought to go to your pastor. You ought to go to his wife. You ought to put your hand in their hand. You know what y'all? Y'all say, hey, I appreciate you holding rope for these 20-something years.